And you are listening to Pokemon's Health. I'm Roy Flash Gordon, your host, and thank you again for joining me. Just want to give you a reminder to connect with me and Pokemon's Health wherever you can. That's Twitch, that's TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all those good places. But of course, our higher level places like Discord, where we can have conversations every single day about whatever's going on with you. And of course, my Patreon as well, where you can go even deeper, getting more personal videos from me, as well as doing some goal setting and really getting some additional accountability with whatever you're trying to get done in life. That said, we'll move on to our guest for the day, and his name is Michael Bashar. And Michael is literally the first person I spoke to at a local tournament when I first got started with VGC in person about a year ago. So really excited to chat with him. Got a lot of love for this guy. All that said, we're not going to hold you back anymore. Let's go ahead and get going with our guy, Michael Bashar.
And Pokemon's Health, we're here with fellow VGCer in Chicago, Michael Bashar. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Leroy. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Glad to see you on here. Appreciate you deciding to join, especially you being one of the first people that I met in this crazy world in our local scene. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself, like where you're from, how old are you, and what do you do for a living?
All right, I am Michael Bashara. I am 28 years old, originally from Dearborn, Michigan, which many of you that know me know that that's kind of part of my personality, just being a Michigander. In fact, you might not be able to hear the hoarseness in my voice as much anymore, but I lost my voice last night having watched the Detroit Lions play in the NFC Championship game, which was extremely exciting with a sad ending, however. And I moved to Chicago after attending the fall, and I have been living here since.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. It's funny. I was an enormous football fan coming up, and I could give two shits anymore about it. But I had no clue the Lions are in the NFC Championship. That's how removed I am. I had no clue. That's crazy. That's super cool.
Yeah, it was real exciting. I was their first, well, they got their first playoff win since 1991, and they happened to be in the NFC Championship that same year. Yeah. So this is their first NFC Championship appearance since 1991 as well.
That's insane. Very cool. So it was a
crazy ride.
Good time to be a Lions fan.
There's a bar called, yeah, it was a good time. There's a bar in Lincoln Park. For those of you that don't know, Lincoln Park is a neighborhood of Chicago, and it is home to a bar called the Tin Lizzie, which is the Detroit bar. So that bar was just packed to the brim. If I had it on my computer, I would show you. I'll send it to you through Discord, but
definitely
just packed. It'd be much more fun.
Love to see it. Love to see it. That's what's up, man. So why don't we talk a little bit about the Mons. How'd you get into it?
Yeah.
Are you a Gen 1er? What was your first generation? How'd you get into this thing, and how do you currently engage with the community?
So I was so far removed from the community that for the longest time, I didn't know what a Gen 1er was. And specifically what I mean is that between gens, even as a child, gens 4 through 7, I refused to play them because I was like, the original games are the best, obviously. And so all my life, despite holding that mentality and not playing any new games, I would just constantly cycle through Pokemon Yellow, Pokemon Crystal, Pokemon Stadium 2, Pokemon Emerald. I would just play all of them constantly. So I have been playing Pokemon my whole life, but then the pandemic hit, and so I started playing Pokemon Shield because I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I'll just buy this, see how it is. I'm not going to have anything to do anyways. And the game was okay. But then my friend Ron, I'll give a shout out to my man's Ron. He's like, hey, you should check out competitive Pokemon. And I was like, oh, sure, whatever. And then I became hooked immediately. I could, like, I was watching videos constantly. So, despite not having been involved with anything VGC related, not even knowing what that acronym was until a couple years ago, I was watching videos from like 2011, 2012, 2013. I was consuming as much content as I possibly could. And even so, and while I was watching and playing the game, it felt like I was making up for all that lost time. So, absorbing all of the new information, like I didn't even know what Trick Room was. I didn't know what Prankster was, both of which are very crucial to the metagame, no matter what year we're talking about. It all felt like things I wanted to be learning, despite all of the massive amounts of information I was consuming, because I loved Pokemon and I was just rejecting this aspect of it that I wish I never did.
Yeah, I get you, man. I get you. That's a lot. That's a lot. I never knew that. So it's a super fun part of your story there because you're really fucking good. You're not like a scrub. You're not
Thank
a.
you.
Because when we met, also, when we met, that was your first in-person event, right? Had you done online tournaments or whatnot?
So I went to Milwaukee in 2022,
Got
but that
you.
was my only that was my very first in-person event, and I was actually talking about it recently, where I didn't know anyone in the community, and so I just did a solo trip and stayed in a hotel room across the street from the venue, and it cost me $500. Unfortunately, with people like you, Leroy, now I know so many people in the community that I can stay with whomever and save however much money.
Hell yeah.
It is part of traveling. That's a huge part of the Pokemon community. But to get to the root point of your question, yeah, like when you and I met, that was my first ever event at Good Games. I didn't even know there was like a local scene.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, man. So you went and like you did the online warrior like grind to become as good as you were, and now just starting to come in top cut at these events in person now.
Although my finish at Charlotte was very disappointing.
Hey, well, yeah, what did you end up doing? I don't know if we if I got to hear from you before we left.
Yeah, so I wasn't like feeling great. So I started, like, stopped talking to people pretty much halfway through the
Got
day.
you. Got you.
I started 4-0, which was a really exciting start. But then, just given the nature of my team and also a few other factors throughout the day, I was just gassed. I had nothing left to give, and I ended up finishing 5-4. 5-4 in total. So I started 4-0 and then ended the day 1-4.
Got you. Got
It felt like at a certain point I was just clicking buttons. Like it
you.
a lot of my opponents were playing really well, so definitely credit to them, but I was not bringing my best game at all.
You, man, your team is just super impressive, but I can tell like the fatigue that can come from piloting if you're like having a like having the fight. Like I experienced it for the first time, like having to literally fight so hard for every damn game. Like it takes a toll. It takes some endurance for sure.
So just having to play 9 sets and potentially up to 3 games for each individual set. And Leroy, you can talk a little bit more about your team from Charlotte. I had a Trick Room team personally, so like and that obviously is just by nature slowly paced, and that was only extending things further. Like for round one, I was like one of the very last to finish, and I think the same for round three. And I think I had my first, or I'm sorry, my second and fourth sets finish in 2 games, but even then, those were slow as well.
I get you, man. I get you. Yeah, I play a balanced team. It's either like I mean I saw a little bit of everything. Some fast games, some very slow games, and faced a lot of Trick Room, you know? And it definitely slows the game down, like of course, but also like all right, if I'm gonna figure this out, like it's gonna take some time, you know, to get through it. Minus, you know, any Blood Moon stuff, which is just instant death. But
Especially with that
we
paranormal.
stop on that. Man. Cool, dude. No, thank you for sharing that. I think the mental game, especially long games, the style you're playing, and then
Yeah.
if you start to get a couple losses, that it's definitely hard to stick in. But
Yeah, re relevant to the root of this podcast as well.
yeah, definitely, definitely. I think this is definitely, something a lot of the skills I think people learn on their mental health journey, definitely stuff that can apply to a game where you gotta if you got your additional mental health stuff going on and you want to play this game where you gotta have like a certain level of mental fortitude to do it, like you gotta be on point,
Yep.
as much as you can with your habits and things that keep you, I don't know, even keeled.
Exactly. Yeah, like the consistency of a lot of players, like especially someone like Riley Factura all season, is impressive in and of itself, just looking at it from a skill perspective. But
Yeah.
mentally, with all that travel and the various factors that can affect you day to day, to consistently see results like that is extremely impressive from a mental perspective as well.
Yeah, definitely, man. Let's get to the next bit. I guess the other topic, masculinity in itself. And I think we just kind of start this question by framing, just based on your experiences, what you've kind of been taught. And what you've, conclusions that society has kind of sent your way or stuff that you've concluded yourself. What do you think a man is supposed to, quote unquote, be? Yeah.
I think the qualities that define any adult, especially a man, given the reputation that men have given themselves for centuries, is a willingness to listen and learn and react accordingly to the things that people are asking of you. And don't express stubbornness or arrogance in the face of things like that. Because I think stubbornness is it's a very general adjective and quality, but it's applicable to so many things that make the term toxic masculinity toxic. So I would say that is the key factor among a number of other things. Like, we could talk for 30 minutes to an hour just on the basis of like what it means to be a man in the year 2024. But those are, I think, the overarching themes.
Dude, I think that that's so potent because I think, ever since toxic masculinity kind of became a buzz term in, like, I don't know, last 10, 15 years or something,
Right.
it's just been like a bunch of like, no, we're not, no, we're not, no, we're not. Like, that's
Yeah,
what like I get. And it's just like, hold on now. What if you listen to all the women, children, people of other genders, sexual orientation that are saying, hey guys, like, you're hurting us. Like, and just consider that you are, and just do something to grow and be willing to change. One of my favorite books by Bell Hooks is called A Will to Change, and I think that is like you're saying that absence of stubbornness, that willingness to listen, that is what is made possible by that will to change, I think.
Yep, for sure. Like, from an opposing perspective, I can see why being constantly told that you are, just to put it plainly, like, you are bad. Like, I can see why that would elicit like a defensive reaction from, in this, like, the context of this conversation, certain men. But that doesn't change the fact that there's a lot of truth to constant talking points, such as what we're talking about right now, being that being toxic masculinity.
Yes. I think, well, I guess the next question, that would be a good bridge here. Have you ever, like, due to, as I think a lot of men are the way they are from the ways of being that have been kind of pushed upon us for previous generations. And I'm wondering if you have ever had any like standard that you were kind of held to, whether looking at society or by people around you, that you couldn't meet around that topic of being a quote unquote real man.
So I developed through my childhood and like teenhood a lot through my own experiences and my friendships. My friendships, for anyone close to me, knows that they are very dear to me. Growing up, I would see my friends constantly. So, a lot of how I am has been shaped through my relationships with them. And like it's especially some things in high school, like it took some learning to get to be the person that I am today, but ultimately I did find my way. Like there's a lot of things that I'm ashamed to like think about of how I acted back then. I wouldn't say I was like a bad person, but I certainly was foolish and like didn't fully see things the right way. Like I was arrogant and self-centered, but ultimately I feel like I've shed a lot of what has made me ashamed to look back on, and has like shaped my perspective on what it takes, to your point, to be a quote unquote a real man, based on those just personal experiences of my friendships, of previous relationships, and just experiences in general.
Yeah, got you. Got you. That's awesome. I think the kind of standard of real man that I thought about for myself is just that, or what makes me it is that I say I'm it like that, you know what I mean? And that but I like continue to I think that that ability to reflect and even look at the stuff that like has made you ashamed is like is so key to our growth, you know, from our like let's say like we have these big adult bodies, but like that mental like perspective, that mental part of us that is still kind of a little boyish and doesn't want to take responsibility for their life now and all that. You know, you got to look back and say, oh, I did that. I made somebody feel that way. And I, you know, can make amends in this way, or I did this thing and I can make amends in that way. To be able to look back, say you did something, and want to like grow from that, I think is like really how we can all like be committed to doing our best, and showing up how we want to show up.
Yeah, that's for sure. And like a big thing, kind of like what you and I have been talking about too, is just not rejecting that shame, like not pushing it to the wayside and acknowledging that it's real. Like there are a lot of men, to their credit, that feel that are cognizant of how they have acted in the past and have acknowledged or can acknowledge it, but will not act on it. Similar to what we were talking about, they'll just be like, "Yeah, that's who I am, and what?" So.
Yeah, totally, totally. It's hard to take action from a place of it's hard to take a action from a place of shame and bad feelings and whatnot. But then that's also the thing. It's like that's a courageous act to go against those things. And I think that's part of growing up too, just gaining more
Yeah,
courage.
and as I'm thinking about it, I mean it's applicable literally to anyone, not just like any one gender, but
Totally.
like for the context of this conversation, it's certainly applicable to men as well.
Yeah, totally. I like, you know, I always like try to put the disclaimers that like I think all this stuff is good for everybody, but I'm just like and I'm looking at a certain group of like, you know, hey guys, they've been telling you like to get your shit together, step up for a long time. So let's talk about it, you know, and us starting to talk about it, I think is you know, spread, and we bring this conversation, a little flavor to the Pokemon community. And I think these conversations in every community is what takes things a step further. And of course, the final topic, mental health, emotional health. I think these things are very much tied. I think we as men don't are not fully given the opportunity to feel our feelings and such. You know, boys don't cry and all that bullshit. And it leaves us with, you know, even more opportunity to kind of like be in some sort of emotional trouble or mental health trouble and not seek help and such. So I guess just like in the spirit of helping continue remove stigma around these things, if you've ever had any kind of mental emotional health struggle, what might that have looked like for you, and maybe how you overcame it if you ever have experienced such a thing?
So I've been dealing without fully realizing it, mental health struggles my entire life. So a lot of like the difficulties and shame that are associated with some of my youth are derived from like mental health problems that like cause me to act and react in a certain fashion.
Yeah.
And specific, sorry, specifically, I have like dealt with anxiety. And I'm fortunate to not have to find depression or bipolar disorder or and anything of the like to be additional problems. But with
Yeah.
that said, anxiety, my anxiety has been quite bad for quite some time.
Yeah.
And in I think 2022, sometime in the last 2 years, I started seeing a therapist, and that has been a tremendous help.
Oh, yeah.
And another checkpoint in my journey has been taking medication. I recently started doing so. And for the longest time, I was rejecting the idea of needing it or wanting it. But at a certain point, all of the coping mechanisms and talking points with my therapist and just generally seeing one wasn't quite enough. I certainly felt better, but it didn't fix me, and I don't expect medication to fix me. But these have been two really key points in trying to fight the anxiety that I was rejecting. Like I was rejecting the reality of for so long.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And you took it's a whole ass journey, right, to start to even realize that, oh, there has been this thing like that's been with me for a lot of my life, and I actually can do something about it and make things a
Yeah,
little
man,
bit
that's
better for
real.
myself. Yeah.
And
And
like
you.
it, and seeing that, just to put it generally without like many other good words to explain it, like the idea of quote unquote feeling anxious, even if you can't define what that is isn't normal. Or I should say
Yeah.
isn't shouldn't be like a perpetual feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
And like it's not something that you should be accustomed to. It's so
Should come and
that's
go.
when you, yeah.
Yeah, got you, man. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that with us, man. Thank you for sharing that
Yeah,
with us.
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, along the journey of all of it and circling back, how do you think Pokemon has contributed to your happiness?
So similar to what we were talking about earlier in two of the different conversations, the community has really uplifted my spirits, and getting to know people like you, like other local Chicago players. I don't want to call them out a name, but like specifically my friend Gio, Sharpie, also known as Jose, or like Bobby, Rachel, Andre, just to name a few. Like there's so many others. Getting to know so many different kinds of people, both from different walks and just different backgrounds. I guess those are one and the same, but my point is
Too
just
bad.
getting to know different kinds of people that I might have not otherwise through the game. Through this children's game,
Hey.
has been awesome.
Yeah.
And just like getting to compete, but in a healthy fashion, like not hating the person sitting across from me,
Totally.
is really enjoyable as well, because I consider myself very competitive and I love to compete, but I also hate conflict. And so those are like competing emotions, but also they can coexist. Where you can be
Totally.
friends with the person sitting across from you and want them to do well just as much as you, just maybe not quite as well as you in the moment that you're playing them.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Competition's so healthy. I think it's something that we all like, maybe it's not something that we want to do forever, but like there's something really healthy about like just coming up against someone and being able to deal with confrontation, but it not need to be like confrontation, and it's like a such a healthy way to do that, I think we can build a lot of emotional health there too.
Yeah. And I don't want to act like my journey in playing Pokemon has been perfect. As far as being friendly with everyone I've played with, like
Yeah.
I personally have always tried to offer the metaphorical hand no matter what the situation is.
Yeah.
But sometimes people are just like inherently toxic, but that's their own journey that where they're trying to figure things out. And
Totally.
so
Totally.
you just can hope that they like reach a certain point where they don't need to act that way too.
Yeah, I definitely in Charlotte had a situation with a guy who was just like not trying to say good game, not trying to talk about how the day was, like, and end of the game wouldn't look at me, and I'm like, man, this feels really rude and like does not feel good. It's like it's their shit, right? It's their thing, it's their journey. But I'm just like, man, go away.
Yeah, no,
Go to a different tournament.
it's cool when people express that they're not like interested in talking. Like I get that pretty early on. I'll be like, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. And like you can tell pretty early that they're not like really interested in doing all that, which is cool. But if at the end you're going to glare at me and claim that I won because of luck, when like not only did I win because I just outpositioned you, but also luck is an inherent part of the game. Like
Come
you have to
on.
like you can't stick your finger in the other person's face and say you did this to me
Totally.
in like a fashion that blames them.
Absolutely. I'm like the sooner you go that I lost this game, the better. You know, you can put it all on yourself and go and get better. And if you can't do that, and just like, I don't know if you're gonna last long playing this game, and I certainly prefer you not be here.
You might be good if you might be a really good player, but if you can't look at yourself and notice the faults of your play, then you're never going to be the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful, man. Last couple questions. What are you most excited about coming up in Pokemon? And if you had any words of support for a struggling guy out there, what might you say to him?
So, thing I'm looking forward to most in Pokemon, I mean, Indiana is Indiana, so I don't want to say I'm excited to go to Indiana, but I'm very excited for Indianapolis because that's a regional where I don't have to take a plane or drive to. I can just sit back and chill on the train on my way down there,
Beautiful.
living close to there, being in Chicago. Excuse me, being in Chicago. And also shout out Gabe. We're gonna go see someone that we know in the Pokemon community perform at the Indianapolis Ballet because
Oh,
they're
hell
part of
yeah.
the Indianapolis Ballet.
That's awesome.
And I believe they are performing that weekend.
That's
So
what's up, dude. That's gonna be a
it's
crazy
gonna be
trip.
it's gonna be real cool to see that and just spend more time with because I'd be shocked if like every single person I've ever seen a good game isn't at
Oh, we're gonna be
the
there.
Indianapolis regional. It's
Rolling
gonna be really
deep.
cool.
Hell
So just
yeah.
like we were at Peoria, the Chicago community is about to pull up deep.
Yes, let's go.
Like I don't want to speak numbers off the top of my head without knowing for sure, but I can think of four people off the top of my head, including myself, that made day two in Peoria, from the Chicago community. So we're gonna be, like you said, we're gonna be rolling deep out there in
Rolling
Indy as
so deep. It's
well.
gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be cool.
Increase those numbers.
Yeah, we gotta gas ourselves up when we can.
Hell yeah. And then words of support for any guy out there who might be struggling. What might you say to them?
It's tough because everyone's struggle is different, but ultimately the struggle is not the end. There is always a way out of it. Unfortunately, some people's struggles are deeper and harder to get through than others, but just know that it's not the end. And without sounding too ignorant, use the resources available to you to try and claw your way out of it. It can be a lot. I am fortunate to have a really strong support system with my girlfriend, and she has been like guiding me through this therapy process just as much as my therapist has. But seek a therapist, seek a psychiatrist. Seek your friends out. Seek out family members. Medication is one thing, but that is an option as well. Like among all of those, taking medication is as well. And I don't want to repeat talking points that a lot of people say, like such as what I've just said. Like talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to therapists. But that really is like the root of a lot of the guidance that you can find yourself in getting out of the struggle.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Awesome, Michael. Thank you so much. And you'd be surprised. No one said has said what you said like you say it, you know, especially in the context of the conversation that we just had. So you saying it even that way is still super valuable. And like bringing it down to rely on the resources that you have and know that you have more resources than you probably think you do. Like that's feels like almost always true as well. That's gonna vibe for people who need to hear it, man. So thank you for saying it.
Yeah, for sure. That latter point that you just said encapsulated it well too. You have more resources than you realize. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have immediate access to healthcare, but there are still options for free
Yeah.
to people out there as well. It's just about going out and finding it. That's
Yep.
part of the fight is mustering up that energy, but yeah.
It's out there. It's out there. Michael, thanks so
Yep.
much for joining me today, man. I hope you have a great rest of the night. And I can't wait to see you at the next local event.
I will be there, Leori. Thank you so much for having me, and it was great to talk to you, and I will see you soon for sure.
Always. And crew, again, what a great note to end things on there. Use the resources available to you. Like, I think a lot of us go through suffering for a number of reasons, but one of the biggest things is I'm alone. There's no one that can help me with this. And a lot of times you feel like you're the only one going through that damn thing. And it's not to downplay what you're going through, but to just put into perspective, like, there are people that have gone through what you've gone through. And they are out there looking to help people like you not have to suffer anymore. So that's just going out, you know, great inspiration from Michael there. And I want to send that out from my heart to yours. Use the resources available to you. You are not alone and people want to help you out. Thanks again for listening today, friends. Again, hook up with us on all those other forms of social media. And of course, giving us a follow here and sharing this podcast with somebody who you might think be inspired by it. That said, I will be on my way on with another great day of just living with gratitude that I've got the community that I've got and that you spent some time with me today. Have a good one. Talk soon.